us today.
You see, we're two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. And I also have it on good authority that the Holy Spirit is hovering to perform his word with signs and wonders. And the word today is, if you dare to believe, if you just dare to believe, you just go beyond yourself, your feelings, what everything looks like around you, and just put your trust in God, you will receive. He's just looking for a heart that dares to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Richard was telling me before that he wasn't all that blown away by the last storm. Been slow in getting that one. He got him, mate. And it's an amazing thing because when Debbie hit, nobody was really prepared. I didn't even know about it until the night before, and cause it did a lot of damage. But this latest storm, it was supposed to be worse. It was supposed to be as big as the Wahine. And looking on Facebook and all of that, lots of Christians began to pray. And pray. And it was the same theme was that it dissipate out at sea. And of course it did. It landed, but not to the extent that Debbie did. Although it was huge. When it was coming down from the Pacific, you could see it was huge. It would have done a lot of damage. I tell you what, James said that the fervent, heartfelt prayers of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I'm a great believer in prayer. And there's another storm brewing. You can see it on TV. War drums are beating. The winds of war are beginning to blow. And yet Scripture tells us that, first of all, I urge you that prayers and supplications be made for all men, for kings and for all those that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. For God would have all to be saved and come unto the knowledge of him. It was never God's plan for lunatics to lead this world. It's God's plan for Christ to lead this world, for his body to be involved in that. So I'd like to pray into that situation today. And I ask you to bow your heads, pray in the Holy Ghost. Stand and agree. Father God, we come before you today. We thank you, Lord, that you said, Lord, that you watch over our prayers to perform it, Father. That the fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. You said, Lord, that as your word goes forth from our lips, Lord, that it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you please and prosper in every area whereunto you send it, Father. You've instructed us, Lord, to pray, Lord, for kings, queens, prime ministers, presidents, all those that are in authority, Lord. So we lift them up to you today, Father. We pray for their salvation, Father. We pray, Lord, that they be saved, Lord, from satanic influences, deceit, lies, and corruption in Jesus' name. I take authority over that strong man spirit, that spirit of Antichrist. We take authority over greed, warmongering spirits, those things that would seek to destroy us. We take authority over those things in the name Jesus. And we command you to decease in your maneuvers against this world in Jesus' name. Lord, as I lift up to you, Lord, all those in authority, prime ministers, presidents, even dictators, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for their salvation, Father God. But we thank you, Lord, that they have ears open to hear, Father God, your word. your instruction, Lord, in righteousness, Father, that they would be convicted in their hearts, Lord, have the conviction and the courage, Lord, to implement same, Lord, for you said, Lord, that it's righteousness that exalts nations. And so, Lord, we pray for that, Father. And we stand against those spirits who would try to, Lord, you said that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came that we might have life and life in abundance. So we recognize the spirit behind all of this, the thief. We command you to sit down, fold your wings, be still, shut your mouth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, as we gather around your word this morning, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to take the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, and to use them for your purpose, Father God, that somebody might be saved today, that somebody might be healed today, that somebody might be delivered today, that somebody would hear the truth in such a way that they be set free in Jesus' name. Last week I talked about the reason for Jesus. Basically, mankind needed the Savior because man needed to be saved. Adam and Eve had rebelled, became separated from God, their Maker, and because everything produces after its own kind, so were we. Enter God's redemption. Enter Jesus came into the earth as our Messiah, our substitute, our sacrificial lamb. He took upon himself our sin, our guilt, our shame, our death sentence, the whole nine yards. Nailed it to the cross, died, defeated death and hell, rose again to a resurrected life. As he did that, he opened the way for us to do the same. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So today, Easter is a celebration of life. Yes. To many, it's a four-day weekend, a mini holiday. To others, it's Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, hot cross buns. Yes. That's right, aren't we? Bang on time there, brother. To others, a religious tradition, a fairy tale, a fantasy told to children and gullible adults. To me personally, the greatest love story ever told in Annapolis. A story of forgiveness, of grace, mercy, compassion, sacrifice and hope. A love with so much depth and strength that it allowed itself to be tormented and destroyed so that others might go free. Romans 5:17. Yet perhaps for a good person, someone might dare to die. But God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, still apart, still rebellious, still rejecting him, Christ died for us. John 15:13. No greater love exists than this, than a man lay down his life for his fellow men. So we see that love is more than just words. Anybody can say, "I love you." Anybody. And sometimes words are cheap. But God's agape love has great strength, great depth, great character, displays itself through action, sacrifice, generosity, its faithfulness and commitment at any cost. I mean, our wedding vows that we take reflect God's own vows to us. Amen? For better, for worse. When we're good and when we're bad. In sickness and in health. When we're strong, when we're weak, and when we're struggling. For richer, for poorer. In every situation, God committed himself to us. And God revealed himself to the Apostle Paul in such a way that he said that he was absolutely persuaded, absolutely convinced that nothing could separate us from the love of God, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? When you look at the cross, that's the depth of God's love for you. But Easter always also reminds us of what is known in the Greek as Pascha, or Resurrection Sunday. A time when we not only we remember, but we celebrate. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It's interesting that I found out that Easter is linked to the Jewish celebration of Passover by much of its symbolism. Both relate to victory over death through the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? We had a wonderful time with Bob and Lynette's last Monday night. Lynette cooked a fantastic meal. It was just wonderful. So we feasted, and we feasted, and we feasted some more. But we also remembered the Passover. And it was there that I learned the significance of it. It was a wonderful occasion. And the presence of God was so real. It's just wonderful. But both the Passover and Easter are a powerful reminder of God's deliverance. Good over evil. Love over hate. Life over death. Resurrection life. And as Pastor Tony said, now that's the very core of what we believe as Christians. Because if that wasn't true and Jesus didn't rise as the Christ, and if he didn't overcome death, then our faith is useless. Our faith is in vain. Our faith, we are living in false hope in no man's land, no better off than the unbeliever. But everything in me, and many here today, other believers, can testify to the fact that he did rise. So the question has to be asked, how do we know for sure that Jesus died and was raised from the dead? How do we know that God even exists? Psalm says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Psalms 19 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, although he is invisible, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made, so that man is without excuse. Job prompted us, in Job chapter 12, to look at intelligent design through the animal kingdom, the fish of the sea. He said, for they speak of his creation. Anybody see that documentary from Louis Giglio? Beautiful. Anybody see that? All the photos from the space station Hubble. So we have his word, the Bible. But how do we prove that? Other religions have their own writings. They point to their own God or gods. Who is right? Which is true? Well, one way is taking a simple step of faith. Going on a journey of discovery. Applying Bible wisdom, counsel, guidance to our own individual lives. In other words, living it out. Walking it out. That's what I did. And over and over and over again, God has proven the validity, the integrity, and the proof of himself through his word. The prophet Elijah was on the run. He was hiding in a cave, desperate, I'm sure, for a touch from God. And God said, go and stand on the mountain as I pass you by. It said a great, powerful wind tore the mountain and rocks apart, but God was not in the wind. After the wind, a mighty earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. than a fire, but God was not in a fire. Then he heard a still small voice, and when he heard that, he knew it was his Lord, and he went out and met his Maker. See, God doesn't always reveal himself in powerful, spectacular ways or through great signs and wonders. Many look for him in new experiences, the new great move of God, the huge meetings, but God can be found in the small places, in the still places, the quiet places, in our everyday journey, leading, guiding, strengthening, enabling, providing, supernatural. I want to encourage you today, don't just look for God in the hype and spectacular and all the noise, because you might miss it. You might miss that still small voice that says, this is the way to go, walk here in it. There's a lot more scientific and historical evidence out there now, too numerous for me to cover today, but Paul prayed to the church, he said in Ephesians, he prayed that the eyes of our understanding be open and enlightened, that we might know the height, the breadth, the length of everything that is of God. So I encourage you. Lee Strobel wrote a book called The Case for Christ. Anybody read that? Lee had a master's degree in law from Yale University. It was a top law school. He went on to become an award-winning journalist at the Chicago Tribune. It was a top paper. An investigative journalist who later became its legal editor. He was a hard-nosed skeptic in an environment of skeptics. He had a bulldog tenacity to discover evidence of truth. His office motto was this: believe nothing until you can prove it's truth. Even if your mum or your mother says she loves you, find evidence to prove it before you believe it. My gosh, what is that all about? Even if your mum says she loves you, find evidence to prove it before you believe it. Oh my gosh, you're going to be a hard-nosed skeptic to be saying things like that. But he was also an agnostic, an atheist. He didn't believe in the existence of God. Then one day his wife came to faith in Christ, and she began to walk in his ways. In his own words, he said, made him as mad as hell. And he told her she was crazy, a lunatic. But later he saw changes in her that were attractive to him. He got interested, went along to church with her to see how she had been duped. to show her the error of her ways. She was in a cult, he reckoned. But he heard the gospel message in such a way that it clicked with his heart and his intellect. You see, God was never in his plans. But he heard enough that day to make him wonder, to make him question. Still a hard-nosed skeptic, he set out on what was to become a journey of discovery. He crossed America many times over, talking to some of the most brilliant minds of his nation, theologists, philosophers, doctors, lawyers, ministers, even atheists, to cross-reference what he had been studying. Top scientists, top historians, top archaeologists. He went after it like a prosecuting lawyer, he said, in a court case, finding all the evidence to prove that God was wrong, to prove to himself that Christ was not real, that he did not die, and he certainly did not rise again. And after 1 year and 9 months of travel, interviews, study, asking all the hard questions, of gathering all the evidence, he was confronted and shocked to find that everything that he believed to be false was real. The evidence was overwhelming. God was real. Jesus was real. The cross was real. The resurrection was certainly real. He proved the validity of the Bible. He could no longer deny it. So he said he got down on his knees. And asked Christ into his life. And he still follows him to this very day. Powerful, powerful, powerful testimony. Worth the read. You can find it on YouTube. The journey of knowledge. The eyes of his understanding were opened. As most of you know, my own testimony came at a point of great need in my own life. I was diagnosed with terminal cancer at the age of 25 years, with 1 year to live. But God met me and revealed himself to me through a very limited amount of understanding and faith at that time. But it was a faith that I put into action. And the result was that I'm still here 38 years later.
Hallelujah.
And at the time, I loved to run. I would run for miles, miles and miles and miles, kilometers. And at my worst times of recovery, I would get a sense to put my faith into action. And in spite of my body, my head telling me I wouldn't handle it, I couldn't handle it, I dared to believe. Isaiah 53 and 5, 1 Peter 2, 24, that by the stripes that Jesus bore, I was healed. So with childlike faith, I would put my running shoes on and start walking. And then I feel enough strength to start jogging, quicker and quicker until I was running. And in a similar fashion to that great Olympic sprinter Eric Liddell, but not as fast as him, of course. When I ran, I could feel his pleasure. I could feel his glory. I could feel his strength. It was real. It was tangible. It was healing to my body. It was absolutely wonderful. But one incident that happened years later would become a defining moment in my faith, a watershed moment in my life. I worked down in Cavity. I won't mention names or the company or anything. I worked for a roading company. And I worked with a young guy. And he was a good fella. Good to work with. Good work. But a couple of days prior to a certain incident, we began to notice that he began to be acting stranger and stranger. And later on, we found it was through bipolar, schizophrenia, and all sorts of other things were going on. And one night, my friend and I were home, and we heard this car roar up our drive and banging on the door. And Vidi opened the door, and there he was. "It's Kim here, it's Kim here." And he was quite agitated. And I was in the bedroom, I was talking to my cousin, and he came roaring up to the bedroom, just rambling. "It's the end of the world, God's coming, we need to do this, we need to do that." And just absolutely rambling on. And Vidi said, "Where's your partner?" And he says, "Oh, I told her to get out of the car about 3 kilometers back." And next thing, she's phoning us, and she was highly agitated. She wanted to know if he was there. And she said, "Vidi, can you come and pick me up?" So Vidi jumped in his car, and away she went to pick him up. And so I took him into the kitchen to calm him down. Made him a cup of tea. We sat down at the table. I knew something was wrong. I could feel it on the back of my neck that something was wrong. And I was watching him. And I just glanced away for a second. And the next minute, when I make a cup of tea, I got big mugs. I like a mug of tea. and he took this mug and he just went, oh, right into the side of my feet. And it just knocked me off and flew into the wall. Later on, when the police had a look at all the evidence, the cup had been shattered into a thousand pieces. My glasses had gone, blood pouring out. They don't know how I survived that. And next thing, it was all over me. Carrying on. And then he got a grip around me. Quite a strong boy. The next day, they let him out on bail. And he went on and did some real terrible things the next night. And when they caught up with him, an off-duty policeman, and a group of forestry workers, when they caught up with him, it said that it was about, they took about 5 people to hold him down. And so that's what I was dealing with that night. I was quite a strong boy myself, and I was fighting for my life. I knew I was gone. And you hear this thing around here, and you're choking the life out of me. And it was a surreal situation, because as he was doing that, I was talking to God. I was saying, Lord, this is not how I die. You said with long life do you satisfy me and show me your salvation. I need your help, and now would be a good time. And I'd almost gone. And I heard a still small voice that said, relax. Surrender. And I'm thinking, what? You have got to be kidding me. He said, if I relax right now, he's going to get a better hold of me and I'm gone. Relax. Surrender. You'll be all right. And then I got a picture, and I remember that guy who was taken by a crocodile in Australia, and in the death row, he relaxed, and the crocodile was there to let him go. Later on, after I got out of hospital, and I began to think about it, reflect on it, I realized that at that very point, I was suspended between the living and the dead with only seconds to spare to make a choice. Fight in my own strength or surrender to God's. And after a couple more times of questioning God, I put myself in the ultimate position of vulnerability. Scary stuff. I surrendered. I gave up my fight. I trusted my life completely to him. At that moment, I decided that God was either going to be real or he wasn't. No turning back, one way or the other. I relaxed. I let go. I stopped fighting, and the second that I did that, that very instant, he let me through. And God revealed himself to me right there. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says in me. I stood up straight away. And he took off. I don't know what God did. I think he must have made me look like a 10-foot giant or something. But I could hear him ripping out the drawer and trying to rip open the drawer in the kitchen. And I kind of figured that was where all the knives were. And at this stage, I was still trying to get a hold of my breath. I couldn't see blood pouring out everywhere. And then I heard a still small voice say, follow me. Follow me. Just follow me. Out through the lounge, out through the lounge door. Stop, close the door. And I went, what? I've got to run. Stop, close the door. Out through the wash house, stop, close the door. Out through the outside door, stop, close the door. Down the stairs, round the side of the house, through the gate, stop, close the gate, bolt it, round the house, over the road. We lived across the road from a reserve, so there was all native bush there. Down the bank, sit there, be quiet. Not long after that, I heard him come outside, and he was yelling and screaming for me, and going to do this and going to do that. The next thing, he was off in the distance. They picked him up down at the Paraparini railway station. And then all I heard was police everywhere and ambulances, and I was carted off to hospital. I've been attacked before for my faith, threatened, plotted against, abused, my wife and I falsely accused and slandered. And every time I wanted to reach out of my flesh. But I've learned to roll it over on the Lord. Release forgiveness, bless those that curse me. And every time I've committed it over to the Lord and followed his leading, he sorted it out. When we dare to believe, when we dare to trust him, surrender to his ways, the enemy comes against us one way, he'll cause them to scatter several. You see, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, says the Lord, for our righteousness is of him. The last witness today is the witness of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God wants to do a work here today. He wants to reveal himself to you if you dare to believe. He wants to confirm his word with signs following. But first of all, if you don't know him, I'd like to introduce him to you by way of prayer. John 3:16, once again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth, ask him to be your Lord, ask him to be your leader, you shall be saved. I want you to repeat after me as I make this confession. Dear God, I'm not too sure if I do believe in you yet. But I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me. And in simple faith, I dare to believe in your word. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and took my sin, my guilt, my shame. And now I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And by faith, I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Can we hand out the communion now, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. As the communion is being handed out, if you have any need today, if you would like us to pray for you, lay hands on you, then come up to the front with your communion. But come with one word. Either it's healing, you may have a need, you may need peace, you may need a sense of freedom. Just come with one word. And when those that are in front of you begin to pray for you, just say that word so that we can stand in agreement with you. So as soon as you get your communion emblems and you would like prayer today, don't miss out today. Don't be shy. Dare to believe that God can do a work for you today. Thank you. Stop fighting in your own strength. and come up serene. Thank you for allowing yourself to be a sacrifice. We thank you for fulfilling the plan of redemption. We thank you for taking upon yourself all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our sickness, all of our suffering. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that for us. And as we take this breath, we receive what was given in return. Life in abundance, healing, deliverance, freedom, peace in Jesus' name. Shed blood. We thank you, Lord, that there's life in the blood. We thank you, Lord, for resurrected life, God. For resurrected life, God. We thank you, Lord, that that same blood flows through us, Father. Every part of our body. Every part of our being. Every part of our life, Father God. We receive that afresh today, Lord, in Jesus' name.